Podcast, the Sixth Sense podcast. None other than Zach Osmer bringing it to you. It's season three of this here production, production that usually has a man named Andrew Kirkland, who I'd throw to, but he's on assignment. He is searching for a modem that will work. Didn't want to dedicate just his data to the Ultimate Fantasy Football League, which we'll be talking about. It's week four in the NFL, so that means it's week five of this season. Again, we're into our third season, and you probably know the format by now. We have Commissioner Corner for you, some league news in the Ultimate Fantasy Football League, the UFFL. Waiver Wars, we'll recap last week's matchup of the week once we figure it out. The dud of the week from last week as well. And, of course, we'll pick the matchup of the week and the dud for this week before getting to the 40-minute challenge. If we make it that far, we might need more tech before then. But this one's going pretty smooth so far. And we did have Andrew Kirkland text in his matchup of the week, the Mo, as it were, and his dud as well. He would usually introduce the next man you're about to hear. That is Matt York for the Commissioner Corner. But without Kirky to chirp him, we'll just get right to it. Yorkie, Commissioner Corner, go.
Well, nice to see you, Kaz. So this week's Commissioner Corner, our lovely friend COVID, we already had, it's our first game postponed. They're trying to make it up on Monday or Tuesday between Pittsburgh and is on one of those rosters and on your roster right now. The game is PPD. You got to act like it's a bye week for that player until they make a schedule change to Monday or Tuesday. If they don't make the schedule change, and then we'll get those players at some point, hopefully not in week 17 because the UFL does not play during week 17. I know this was a big topic of the WhatsApp conversation of what happens with my player, etc. I'm big into this conundrum because I got James Conner, probably my best player on my shitty team. So that's where we're at with COVID. First real situation the NFL has to deal with. Hopefully they can get that game. I think a Tuesday game would be kind of cool, you know, Tuesday at like 7:30, 8:30, hopefully not too late because those 8:30, 8:45 Monday Night Football games can be a little tiresome than that.
Yeah, and you don't want the players to have too short a week as well. I read a couple things that said maybe. I've been enjoying this day baseball, these eight games of baseball today. It really took over my life. But I think with many of us working from home, we'd be able to have a few hours maybe in the Monday afternoon slot or something. That might be interesting as well. So we'll see what happens. First and foremost, it sucks. It sucks for those guys on the Titans because I'm sure they would rather just be focusing on football. It sucks for us because we'd rather just be focusing on fantasy. Again, somehow my luck this year, I've avoided this situation as well. But York, my speculation A is, as people have read in the WhatsApp chat, they're going to play these games as soon as they can, no matter what. Because they recognize, if any league recognizes how gambling plays a part, it's the NFL, and fantasy is a huge part of the NFL's moneymaker. So they're gonna try and figure it out. And I think buys are late this year, though. They go to week 13 anyway. But my hope is that they can get them in before our fantasy playoffs, because obviously these would affect our standings if they did retroactive stats or. Who knows? But
speaking about buys, the NFL should just have all buys go from like week 7 to like week 12. So have that five. I get why they want to have the buys spread out so they can have more games and more networks. But if they really cared about player safety, as they say, week 7 and week 12, everyone gets, you know, kind of that mid and bye week. You know what? You just have one or two less games each Sunday. You still have the same amount of games, the 256 games throughout the whole season. You just actually care about player safety instead of the network's pocketbooks. But anyways, different.
Yeah,
different,
but then this. But the other thing is, like, you'd be maybe doing the bigger networks a favor if you cut some weeks. So it was like, think about it, if it was like only one game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, only one game at 1 o'clock on or 4 o'clock on Sunday. That'd be like if you only had maybe, or if you did a Saturday night, you could do two games on Saturday.
They can't
college.
College football's over.
Yeah. Yorkie, are you in a place where your connection's great in your house or not? We always have to ask.
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen. Why?
You're cutting in and out a bit. I don't know if it's mine or yours, but I'm on my 5G or whatever that garbage. I don't know anything. I don't know the Geek Squad. I'm not on it. That's for sure. Speaking of not on it.
I'm on my 5G now.
Speaking of not on it, the waiver wars. I was not a part of any waiver offers this week. And I don't know if it was a surprisingly quiet one to you. Maybe start there for us, York. Did you have any claims in? And we'll go with who did what, and then you can tell us, actually. Let's just give us a breakdown if anyone battled for anyone on waivers, and then we can go through the transactions from there.
Well, for sure. I think Zach Moss was a surprise cut. I don't even know who cut him. It was during the week. He was questionable.
Burnside, I think, had him.
Burnside. And then Gleeder and Charlie Tweener ended up picking him up, and I really wanted him because I need a running back. And he was waiver wire 10, and I was 11, and he ended up winning him. And then this week, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver for Minnesota, had a pretty big week, and there were four waiver claims. Five, the winning one went to Mr. Larson, and then there were four other ones. Yeah, he was winning waiver priority 7.
Wow.
And then numbers 10, 11, 12, and 13 ended up going for him as well. And then Sexy Rexy Burkhead, who had a pretty good game against New England, was also, I was ended up picking him up, and there were two other claims, number 10 and number 12, and waiver wire number 9 ended up winning him.
Wow. So Berkey, we'll start there, I guess, then. So you're just running back desperate, I guess, because you probably know that Pat's situation better than anyone.
Yeah. I mean, the Pat situation is whoever don't fumble, that will put your ass on the bench, which they haven't had this year. But their game plan, team, everyone knows that. So they're going to change every game. But I mean, need running backs. I mean, when you lose Saquon and, I can't even remember my other guy on Indianapolis.
Marlon Mack, I think.
Marlon Mack. I knew it started with an M. You know, you're in trouble. And, you know, you got James Conner, and he really hasn't done much all season. No. Hopefully they can get that game off. So, yeah, I need some running backs. So anyone that wants a deal, open for a deal. We will get into today, I myself, considering the other assistant commissioner was who normally he and I review all the trades together, but he was in the trade. So the trade was Kirky traded away Mike Evans and Devin Singletary for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to Tinder and Sassons and Ozzy. Thoughts on the deal, Cos?
I mean, everyone was probably chasing Helaire. I hope Ozzy checked with everybody first. I don't know your thoughts. I mean, he's looked the part of a first-round pick, but now that puts Kirky with Mike Thomas and Helaire when healthy. So Kirky just moved up into – and if you look at the draft, he moved up into two top 10 players there. So if you're going to turn your season around, that helps. But I could totally understand Ozzy trying to get out of the basement, and having been 0-13 before, it's not a good feeling. So trying to do anything he can, and Singletary's
guys played this week.
Yeah. So that's maybe a little bit of a preview of what we're thinking for matchups later on. But, Singletary definitely not on the same coaching staff of an Andy Reid on that sort of offenses level either. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So that's pretty much my thoughts. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Helaire, in that offense, you know, he's going to be a huge pass catcher. I mean, that's just where it is. And then if you look at his yards on the ground, he had 138 the first week, 38 and 64. And he had 20 carries for 64 yards. So, and then the other game when he had 10 carries for 38 yards, those aren't great numbers. Those are both, you know, 3 point something yards per carry. And, you know, it's not great. And then the first game, he had 138 yards on 25 carries. But it's the catches. And in that offense, you know, they can score like that in three or four plays, and they can score from anywhere on the field. So, I mean, he is the best player out of the deal, and that's always nice, especially when you compare, you know, Kirk needed running backs. I mean, James White will be back this week after the passing of his father, missed two games. I know his mom's still in critical condition from a car accident, so condolences to them. But, you know, he didn't have a ton of great running backs, and, you know, he's got the wide receivers, and he was able to have that depth, obviously, with Michael Thomas coming back, and hopefully he can kind of get Drew Brees going because he struggled as well. So, I mean, I do like the deal from both sides, but if I had to pick a winner here, I would actually pick Ozzie, because I think he got two starting caliber players. Obviously, Allaire's the best player in the deal, but Mike Evans can get going, and Devin Singletary, especially with Moss hurt, you never know where they want to go. And plus, obviously, when the weather gets bad in Buffalo, they can run the ball.
Yeah, and impressive that Kirky pulled it off even after, just to bring it back to sort of this morning's transactions, even after I was surprised that not a lot of waiver action went through on some of the breakout, or not necessarily breakout performance, but the surprise performances from last week. A lot of receivers were still out there. For example, I grabbed T. Higgins with Joe Burrow thrown to him in Cincy, and then Preston Williams was axed by Chambo. And rightly so. He had an awful start against two tough defenses, and he wasn't even that great in the Thursday nighter. But that actually brings me to a funny point about waivers, too. Where this Thursday nighter situation actually gave me a chance to, I have first waiver still, but I had a chance to scout Preston Williams in the Thursday nighter, knowing I couldn't pick him up last week because he got dropped on the Wednesday morning, and knowing that he would be fine till these waivers. So I didn't really have to, like you were asking me about dealing for a receiver, but I kind of knew in my back pocket that if I wanted Preston Williams and thought I needed to use waiver on him, I could get him. And all because of Thursday Night Football. So as much as I hate on Thursday Night Football, it actually let him go through. And then guess who I play this week after picking up Preston Williams? Chambo. So I really I have to start him right now. And this will be the week he goes off. So we'll see what happens. But I got to tell you, okay, I can't stop looking at my team. Like, it's really – I'm not used to this at all. Like, you know me. I text you every day saying how shitty my team is. But anytime I'm bored or whatever, I just kind of bring up the squad and trying to ride this wave while I can.
Yes, Sky deal.
Yeah.
Russell, he's probably everyone's pick now for MVP.
It's overreaction early, but I mean,
it is overreaction early, but I mean, to think like, and their defense, they've given up 30 points the last 2 weeks. And could have lost both the games against Dallas. I don't know if you watched that game, but Mike McCarthy needs to go to Bill Belichick's clock management school because
he's always been Daryl, though.
He blew that. But, you know, he's got a Super Bowl, and he beat a pretty good Pittsburgh team in the Super Bowl to get that ring. But come on, like, you're just trying to throw away the game. And then, obviously, they gave up 25 points to Atlanta, who's terrible as well. But Seattle's got no D, and they need Russell Wilson, and he's thrown 14 touchdowns so far through 3 weeks. So he's got Miami this week and Minnesota. I mean, yeah, he's and if you look at his playoffs, it's the Jets, Washington, and the Rams. So it's
I'm just T-boying over here. Don't worry, I'm not looking. You know me, I'm not looking that far ahead. Fuck playoffs. Oh my God. Right now, I guess we'll just recap the standings since Yorkie kind of brought up playoffs. So we got Yanny leading again, last year's champ, Terry Green Machine. Then Hendry is second. We'll get to him. We'll probably try not to mention his favorite topic this whole show. And then Bondo is not used to being 3-0. I can tell you he feels like he's sitting pretty, that's for sure. And then the playoff spots are rounded out by.
You know, if you're Bondo, it's nice to be 3-0 when you've only faced 329 points.
I was noticing that as well. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, considering I have 457 the most against, yeah. And he's got 329.
Well, this is why we gotta switch to the top seven scores a week get the win, and the bottom seven get a loss. And we don't have to have any head-to-head, but that's a whole other show, a whole other story. Let's recap last week's matchup of the week, and I'm just gonna go to the matchups and see if I know what it was. I don't.
Neither do I. I don't remember.
I know the dud was Chainbow pulling it out 115-102 over Aussie, oh,
yeah.
Right?
Because they were both 0-3. They were both 0-2, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then who was the Mo? You guys didn't make it the rivalry game. You didn't do the Battle of Barry. You know what? I think it was...
I think it was Scotty versus No versus G.
Oh, you're right. It was me.
That was you.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah. Scotty doesn't know versus G.
See, this is how much I don't like the match of the week. It's how much I didn't want to be in it. So I prevailed there with the high week of 179, which still, again, in disbelief. No one wants to hear about my team anymore. And G&J is still putting up solid weeks, so 137. His third wide receiver slot, he let him down. And then I wanted to get your thoughts actually on that Monday night, or Yorkie.
I thought it was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, Baltimore really didn't show up. I mean, Kansas City played very well. But I mean, if you're Baltimore, I mean, you just couldn't get anything going. I mean, and Lamar Jackson, yeah, we know he's a runner, but you couldn't even throw the ball on Monday. I mean, what are your thoughts?
That was the same thing. I was very. I think I got home. I turned it on. I was listening to most of it. I turned it on just in time to see his like his sideline manner as well near the end of the game. He wasn't looking to. He wasn't looking like a Pro Bowl playoff quarterback, or especially like he had the mojo from last year going at all. So we'll see what happens with them. I would expect a. Very big ground game. Even though Washington's been pretty good against the run, I would say they are going to get him involved in the option game and get their running back, get those three running backs involved in Baltimore too. There you go. Just kidding, Dobbins. Touchdown. Just kidding. But I think they'll probably try and. Really simplify next week, especially with Dwayne Haskins under center on the other side, but that's a whole other story. I heard you guys talking about him a bit last week as well. So that was the week three Mo and Dud. And we'll move to the week four. While you think about the week four Mo and Dud, York, I will submit Kirky's picks from text here. So let me just I'm pretty sure I swipe up on my phone, and then I can enter my passcode.
I think it's pretty obvious on who were the Mo and Dud of this week, but let's hear what.
Okay, well he's doing his best to keep himself out of the dud. He says the matchup of the week should be him versus Ozzie. Just completed a blockbuster trade, and it's a must-win game. So we'll let that one simmer for a second. And then his dud of the week, which for our new listeners is the worst matchup of the week. That it's the one you would turn off. It's probably like the Tampa Bay Bucks and their creamsicle jerseys against, like, I'm trying to think, like, who was really bad. I guess the Oilers were bad near the end. So it's maybe like a Houston Oilers creamsicle Tampa Bay with the guy with the feather in his cap. Those unis will go down. Vinny Testaverde in those jerseys and be the. It's like the story of my childhood watching him play. But so his dud of the week vote goes to, as we wait for Yorkie here too to get ready, Hendry versus Yanny, because Hendry is talking it up as a rivalry game and no one cares what Hendry thinks. Hendry is an idiot. And folks, I didn't even clean that out language up or anything. That's exactly the text. I can send it to the WhatsApp group if anyone has any problems. But that is his vote. for dud of the week. So while I look over the matchups, York, you've had a second here to figure out who's going to be under the primetime lights. So let's start with the Mo.
My Mo will be Kirky and Ozzy. It's a must win for both of them. Big trade that obviously just went down. So that is my Mo. And my dud is dud of the week versus Discount Belichick.
Okay, nice. That's you. You're putting yourself
against
the
dud of the week.
Yeah. And you're still out projecting him though, which is very interesting. Very, very interesting. So we are, it's a break the tie for me on the dud. I'll start there. We'll make it you, I think. You and dud of the week, just because of the name. Because everyone else is looking semi-competitive. It's obvious Kirky doesn't want to be in it. But we got to get some honorable mentions out for matchup of the week. You guys already handed it to the 2-0-3 teams, which I kind of like in the must win. With Kirky going against Ozzy, but you've got 5th versus 7th, Luke Stewart and G&J going are literally 0.7 apart, so 7 yards apart, I guess you could say. Then you got the Sharknado, Burnside with his 143 to Gleeder's 141, and of course these projections will change all week, especially as we figure out when those games are going to happen. And like I've said many times, I don't want this to be tarnished. So hopefully they get those games in this week. But yeah, and then you've got the Yaney and Hendry matchup is 134 to 133 right now too. So it's going to be a fun week for everyone to watch. Hopefully everyone gets talking. I like it when people talk back and forth. I'm a little less superstitious than I used to be, where I would just shut up because who knows what the hell is going to happen. But yeah, this is gonna be a really interesting week, fun week. And you know what I'm noticing looking at these matchups, York?
Go ahead.
I didn't actually make an official thing first. So officially, the matchup of the week is the 0-3 teams are under the bright lights. We'll call it. It's like Thursday Night Football this week: Denver and the Jets. So Ozzy and Kirky, go for it, guys. Good luck in that one. And the dud is JWoww and trying to go avoid giving you your first win and go from there. So 3 undefeated teams was the first thing I noticed through 3 weeks. And then the other thing I'm noticing, York, is we have about, I think it's half and half now, helmets and profile pictures here. So if we could get, maybe that's our next job for Hendry or whatever intern we bring in on the Sixth Sense podcast here. Figure out the records for people with avatars versus the helmets, which could bring me. We're only at the 23-minute mark, so we could do the 40-minute challenge early. I'll put you on the spot here for the 40-minute challenge. I talked about those creamsicle Bucks uniforms. Maybe the worst or best uni of you've seen or that you like.
I love Seattle's. I love when Seattle wears their blues or their like light green uniforms. But I really like.
You cut out for your last uniform. One. What was the last one? What was the last one for the best? I really like. So Seattle? You're saying you really like Seattle?
It's pretty simple. But I'd have to probably say the Bills. I think the Bills probably uniform. I know there's a lot of blue and red color combination, but I do Bills and Rams. I know I'm probably get a lot of backlash from Bills fans. You?
Yeah, I would say the Rams. I think it's a lot of the color rush ones kind of mess it up for me. I'm trying to go like a classic stuff or like trying to think. On Monday night, though, those all-black Ravens unis were pretty sick. Like they looked like they were the bad team in any given Sunday. Badass team, I should say. But, yeah, looking around the league, the Chargers baby blues I've always liked. And then most of all, like, I'm just the big orange and black guy for the Bengals. But and then the worst, man, I should have been more prepared. I put you on the spot, now I put myself on the spot. Yeah, this is a tough one. But I think, you know what I didn't like, even though it was just the black and red, is like those, the older Falcons uniforms with, what's that quarterback's name now? It's escaping me.
The old, like, I know who he's talking about.
Older quarterback. I can't believe I'm blanking on this. If someone could put that in the WhatsApp too. Do your worst NFL uniform, best NFL uniform, and then give me shit for not remembering old Falcons quarterback. We're going to hate when we hear this name. Definitely not Matt Schaub.
Jeff George.
Yes, absolutely. Thank God. Thank God you thought of it. Which brings me to another hilarious another bar conversation. Not another one, but there's a bar conversation I was having once with, there was a girl who was saying that every NFL quarterback was attractive. Uh-huh. And then I just kept showing her a picture of Jeff Garcia. So I was so glad we had phones, because I was like, this is, it's like, are you still on board with your, what you think? Like, this is, look at Jeff Garcia. So that's my shot at a random guy who doesn't deserve a shot this week. Jeff Garcia style. Yorkie, anything else on week four? Are you looking forward to any games? What's going on that front?
Let's see. The Bulls pretty much battle going on Thursday night, because both those teams suck, and I would probably tank for Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully the Pittsburgh Tennessee game gets resolved out. But in terms of like great games, I mean, the Monday night could be a shootout if Atlanta ever gets going, but it also could be Dan Quinn's job on the line if they lose and go 0-4. But in terms of like great matchups, there's not a ton.
Cam against the Chiefs, but yeah, it's going to be mostly like, it's a couple teams like Minnie and Houston are trying to figure it out. Chargers Bucks will be sort of interesting, but I'd say the one that's maybe most interesting on the slate, well, Foles' first start against the Colts, that'll be interesting. But I think Buffalo and the Raiders is like, I know we're in Bills Mafia up here anyways. Yeah. But
if you're the GM, Ryan Pace, if you're the GM of Chicago, you traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. And meanwhile, a couple picks later, draft. It's pretty bad, considering those guys right there just got what, like $900 million combined between both of them? Something ridiculous.
And those guys there you're referring to, because I think your connection cut out again, was Mahomes went after him, and who was the other guy?
Mahomes went 10, and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he got paid by Bill O'Brien, so what's that really saying?
Yeah, but if you're Deshaun Watson, your last 2 years of college football were you won the national championship and you lost the national championship, both against Alabama. Those were your last 2 years of college football, 2 or 3 years in college football. So, I mean, and Mahomes, he was okay at Texas Tech, but he wasn't anything spectacular. Great for the Chiefs to, you know, producing and developing him and obviously surrounding him with a ton of weapons. But it's like Mitch Trubisky, like, you went second overall out of North Carolina and you had Mahomes and Watson go right behind you, and yeah. Not good.
And it's not like that was a full rebuild Bears team either. Like, they should have been able to do something.
Well, they had the second overall pick.
No, absolutely. But that was more, I think, more because they were just devastated. I don't remember correctly, but or perfectly. My memory's not what it used to be. But I think, like, it's not like they were absolutely terrible football team to with the second round pick. That's my thing. I hope Trevor Lawrence actually just goes somewhere where he can doesn't have to rebuild the whole stadium for the franchise he goes to, but we'll see what happens.
What are your thoughts on Philadelphia 0-3 start and could very well be 0-4 going to San Francisco? I know San Francisco's beat up, but got to go cross country for the Sunday nighter.
Yeah, they should have kept Big Dick Nick, man. But yeah, they've been one of those like a lot of things have to go right teams for me. Even with Miles Sanders being, I mean, looking at it from a fantasy angle, with him being ranked so high, it's like, yeah, people are high on him, but a lot of unproven guys, even though Carson Wentz has done it at times. But I think Barstool had a tweet where it was like, kids don't have, like, telling kids not to have sex because like Carson Wentz's stats after he stopped abstaining or something are terrible. It's a ridiculous account. But yeah, that's tough for a team that basically just won a Super Bowl. Feels like yesterday, so shitty for them. But I mean, Eagles fans are going to be Eagles fans regardless. So as long as we don't have to hear too much of them.
Oh yeah. I mean, and they're living off that Super Bowl. I mean, it's something that they're, that Doug Peterson's going to be like, oh yeah, I won the Super Bowl. You can't find me.
Who did they beat?
They beat New England, who went to three straight Super Bowls. You know, they ended up winning the bookends of that one. Another interesting matchup, obviously Houston, Minnesota. Two teams that probably should be better what their than their record is. But if you're Houston, this is how you started the season. At Kansas City, ring night, home to Baltimore, and then at Pittsburgh. Like that's the start of your season. That's a pretty murderous row to start any season.
And then they get Mike Zimmer and the Vikings, who it's not a treat either. The Vikings are trying to put it together, but that wouldn't be my first choice coming off those three. That's for sure.
No,
that is for sure. And we're on the Sixth Sense podcast. That's Matt York. I'm Zach Cosby. Of course, you've not heard Andrew Kirkland. You did hear a sweet text from him. I wish he would text more during this hour, but we did what we could to try and get a guest as well. Next week, we'll rank like the best hashtags for NFL teams, probably, if we can't get a guest. We can rank right now like who would be the best guest, but I feel like we've done that before. Yeah, I guess for me, it's a thanks for listening, and we hope that this COVID situation works out. Yorkie, you got anything before we say peace out or peace ball or later? Nothing. There's no like random sponsor you came up with or anything. Like, we don't have all of a sudden have a awesome sponsor to talk about. No, I guess not. If anything,
we'll get a win.
Yeah, you got to get a win. Get a sponsor and a win. And maybe the sponsor will be an internet connection for all of us, because you've been dropping in and out. I don't know what I've been doing. I don't know if you've been hearing me clearly, so hopefully everyone else can.
You've been good.
And then we obviously haven't heard Kirky, who's still out searching for a modem. Hopefully he gets that settled by next week, because he was definitely missed on this week's show. And yeah, we do this every Wednesday, so we'll bring it to you tomorrow morning, probably, you're listening to this. If Kirky can at least get that uploaded, and we'll, as a production crew, so we appreciate that. And we'll see you next week after what's going to be a pretty exciting week four for based on the predictions so far. So ship it up and ship it out.
Ship.